As always, I appreciate the opportunity of being able to lead your minds. Appreciate those prayers that are given to me from time to time for wisdom and the ability to choose topics that will be practical, pertinent, and obviously scriptural. I would classify the lesson this morning as an out-of-season sermon. When Paul told Timothy to preach the word in season and out of season, he was describing things that are on what we might call the front burner, something that's critical, something that's important, something that is facing us right now. And for most of us, this lesson is not, that's not the case. This is a lesson on disciplining children, the role of discipline in raising children. And one of the reasons I decided to preach it is because there is such a tremendous onslaught right now against God's wisdom and God's counsel on how to train children. Matter of fact, many communities consider it abuse to in any way discipline a child, which would involve using the hand or using something to strike the child. And so I thought it would be good for us to just sit down and look at the scriptures, look at what God says, and try to be able to understand and not be influenced by human wisdom. This is how human wisdom works. Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. But the world is continually stressing and straining against that. And we live in a time where doing God's will regarding the means by which He has advised us to raise our children, very different. Very different. As a matter of fact, there's almost a persecution. There's almost a fear in the hearts of some Christian parents in practicing discipline, especially in public, because anyone can report you and anyone can make it seem like it was an inappropriate action. So we want to talk a little bit this morning about discipline and admonition of the Lord. Paul told the fathers, and of course I believe fathers and mothers are involved here, but he specifically addresses the fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. And we're going to spend a lot of time on this because this is one of the parameters of discipline. Any discipline that enrages a child, any discipline that is unfair or doesn't fit the crime and leads to anger on the part of the child, we've gone too far. That would be, even by God, considered abuse. If our discipline is only creating anger in our children, then we need to reevaluate how we're disciplining and what our goal is for disciplining. But at the same time, God says, bring them up or nurture them in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. And I believe that this is the fulfillment of Paul's command back in chapter 5, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of Christ. Parents are in submission to their children. You say, well, how in the world can parents be in submission to their children? They're in submission to their children in the respect of the children are in their care, and they are only acting to benefit and bless and train and guide and help their children. They are not there as disciplinarians for the purpose of forcing their will on their children. If that's what they're doing, then they are not submitting one to another in the fear of Christ. All use of authority, from civil government to the eldership to the home, is based on the same basic premise, and that is the best interests of the people that we are leading, and therefore our relationship to them is one of service. Even Jesus said that. I came to serve. I am a servant. And even to this day, as we see in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for I am meek and lowly. Jesus does not exert his authority in any way except to bless us, except to help us, except to get us into heaven and to live a successful and enjoyable life. And when Christians understand that, the authority of Christ is a blessing. And when children understand that, what does it mean in Proverbs 31? Her children rise up and call her blessed. They call her blessed because through her efforts, they are successful They are self-controlled. They are humble. And they are on their way to heaven. Who couldn't feel blessed by parents who did that? And so we are in that relationship. And so we need to submit to this command. All of it. Don't provoke them to wrath. Nurture them in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. That's how we truly serve our children, not by our own ideas of how it ought to be done, but specifically and strictly following what the Lord has required. Now, this is just my own personal musings over the years. I think we can use Scripture to back it up, because God speaks of children who don't know their left hand from their right. And so newborns can't communicate, and therefore we can't guide them. We can't help them understand what they're doing. God created them that way, and so when they're hungry or lonely, they cry. Sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning. And they don't have the ability to think about others. And we accept that. Up to about the age of one, maybe one or one and a half, we accept that. But as they learn to communicate, as they learn how to interface with other people, we start having to deal with this problem, which becomes the foolishness which is in the heart of the child. It's okay for me to be self-centered. It's okay for me to want what I want and not care what you want when I'm an infant. Because an infant, that's how they have been created. They've been created to make their wants known, even at 2 in the morning, even at 3 in the morning, even when mom and dad are tired or sick. The child only knows to cry. And discipline at that stage would be abuse. That'd be the only thing you could call it. If a mother spanks an infant just because they're crying, that's not right. That's not what God gave discipline for. And so there's a transition time, though. And this is where God wants us focused as parents, especially parents of newborns. The time comes when that cry is no longer a cry of need. That cry has become a cry of irritation or frustration or even dominance. Get in here and take care of me. I'm first. The world revolves around me. Now, different children are raised differently because their makeup is different. Some children put that off easily. Some children, it's really a struggle. I wanted to read this definition because I thought it really captured occurring sometime between 18 months and 3 years old. And I think that's pretty generous. I think for some children, it starts closer to 1 year. But the terrible twos are associated with increased assertiveness, desire for independence, or we might say, not wanting to submit to authority, and frustration. Now, this is what the world calls it. I don't think that the only reason I use this is because I think it verifies what we see in the Scriptures, and that is foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. When the transition comes, and most of us, our memories don't go back much beyond 5, 4, somewhere in that vicinity, but many of us can remember in our first year of school being docile and submissive. We have our parents to thank for that. Some of us remember going through that grade school with one conflict after another because of assertiveness, because of selfishness, because of dominance, because of irritation and frustration. We lose friend after friend after friend. Because our parents didn't help us remove that foolishness. Now, we need to scale it back. I can't remember 2 years old or 3 years old. You can't either, for the most part. But those are the formative years when mom and dad can help and bless their children beyond anything that they could ever thank them for. The reality is that if we can help our children control these things, through carefully applied discipline, we're their best friend. And they may never thank us because they won't even know that it happened. But if they are kind and humble and submissive and loving and generous, it's because that foolishness was driven from their heart. And so parents need to see and understand that any rejection of authority needs to be dealt with. And it needs to be dealt with commensurate to the crime. There are what I chose to call atom bomb events, where a child blatantly lies to you, or a child steals something from the store and shows no repentance. Those are moments when everything has to stop. But these little things where the child just kind of, when you're doing something to them, that only needs maybe a little slap or a no, just to show them this is not acceptable behavior. Because we're trying to move the child from the foolishness into wisdom. Now, once children learn to communicate, we need to start teaching righteousness. You know what righteousness is? The basic meaning of righteousness is treating people fairly and justly, giving them what they deserve, whether that's respect or whether that is allowing them to enjoy their life without you dominating and forcing them to submit to something you want when they have no obligation to do that. We need to train up our children so that they treat others fairly, justly, and honorably, whether it's a brother and sister or whether it's a mom or a dad. We've all seen the terrible scene of a child in a store screaming because the mother wouldn't give them what they wanted, hitting the mother, spitting on the mother, screaming and squawking and acting like the world revolves around them. And sadly, it does, at least in their mind. And they become a curse. A curse to their parents, a curse in school, a curse on the sports field, a curse as a husband and wife, a curse as an employer or employee, because they don't know how to treat people fairly. And you can look at your own upbringing, and I can look at my own upbringing, and I can kind of figure out whether or not my parents helped me with that, your parents helped you with that, or whether we had to grow up under that terrible curse and learn how to deal with it ourselves. And I think you've probably heard me say before that that's how my parents just didn't know what to do with me. I was an unruly child. They didn't know anything about the scriptures. They didn't know anything about discipline. My mother grew up in England. They took her away, I think, at 5 years old because of the bombings in the cities, and they sent her out to the country, and for 8-10 years she didn't know. She wasn't trained. She didn't know how to train. I don't have any animosity to them, but I had a terrible... I couldn't keep friends. I would get angry and smart off to the teacher. I mean, it was just problem after problem. I wish, and I saw my children, and I decided I wasn't going to have them deal with that. I was going to help them with it. And you know, it can be done. We can help our children. They need to be trained that anything that is unrighteous, we're going to stop. If they snatch something from their brother or sister, if they steal something, if they lie, if they scream, if they cry, if they act in such a way that they are trying to domineer and treat people unfairly, we're going to stop that. Because much of what they do is a violation of love, agape love, treating other people in their best interests, humility, submitting to one another, and submission. And so it's going to damage all their future relationships. You know, I look at children who don't know how to control themselves, and I fear for the person they marry, because they're going to have a really tough marriage. And a lot of marriages start off so rocky because mom and dad never taught either one of them how to share, how to treat each other fairly, how to take wrong, how to turn the other cheek. Because children need to learn that. And so if we don't help them remove and control, we're just passing heartaches down the line. And that's a sad reality of what's happening in our culture today. That's why our marriage relationships are dissolving. That's why people don't want to make commitments, because everyone is so selfish and everyone wants their own way. And if you don't give it to them, they'll get out a gun and shoot you. They'll punch you in the nose, or they'll get even with you some way or another. That's the kind of people with foolishness still in their hearts. And we don't want to see that in our own children. So God offers parents the ability. Foolishness is in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. That's God's promise. All we have to do is figure out how to properly do what God says to do. And that's a tough line sometimes. So discipline is going to help them with their anger, their selfishness, their desire for dominion. It's going to help them with that. Replacing that with self-control is going to be a real situation or real helpful to them. It's never too early to help our children learn to be last of all and servant of all. Now that's something a newborn doesn't understand, and that's something that a child in the terrible twos doesn't understand, but that's something that as quickly as we start and we detour them away from these emotions and these responses to the responses of a person who's created in the image and likeness of God. Let's face it, children trained to be poor in spirit, meek, peacemakers, and merciful. Jesus said, blessed are. It's only foolishness if the child doesn't understand that. And it's our responsibility to help them. I don't see discipline as a punishment. I see it as a blessing, just like with God. Remember in Hebrews chapter 12? All chastening seems for the present to be not joyous but grievous, but afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. We had our own fathers discipline us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit. God is disciplining us. And he's the pattern. If he disciplines us for our profit, then what seems best to us as parents should be for their profit. And so God reveals discipline in a totally different light than the world today. The world today says, let the child make their own decisions. Let the child grow up to be what the child wants to be. But that's just enslaving them to all of the negative character flaws that they have. We should be trying to help them get out of those character flaws, not because we hate them, not because we want to make their life miserable or rein them in. It's because we want them to be successful and we want them to get to heaven. So God's character is justice, mercy, love, kindness, compassion, and giving. That's the image and likeness of God. That's how God created us to be in the Garden of Eden. And that's what we have a reasonable expectation of our children to be. And if they're not, that's foolishness. We need to drive it out of their heart. We need to remove that. And it begins with cries of need becoming cries of dominion. And that's when it needs to start. We can't wait till they're 3, 4, 5 years old. It's too late then. They've already become ingrained. It's already become a part of their being. It needs to start as quickly as we possibly can. Like I say, I would prefer to have my children to have most of that stuff taken care of before they can remember anything. If we can take care of most of this stuff from 1 to 4 or 1 to 5, they're not going to remember how tough it was. They're not going to be complaining, well, you just don't even know how rough my parents were on me. Well, it's all before they can even remember any of these things. So as they learn to speak and they start saying words like no or I won't or stop, when they snatch things, hit, manifest selfishness? It's time to begin using the rod of correction that will drive it far from them. If we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, then we're going to believe that. Now, I know this runs completely counter to what psychologists are telling us today. I think most of you, or those of you who are my age, remember that man, Benjamin Spock. Not the Spock on Star Trek, but the Spock who wrote a book that claimed that spanking children was not in their best interest. It was hurting them. And he changed the course of an entire generation of people, but not the members of the church. The rod of correction is a relative term. It's not a literal term. Matter of fact, if you go through the Old Testament, you see God using the term rod in a lot of different ways. He never got a physical rod and spanked someone, but he calls Assyria the rod of his anger, and he told Solomon, I will correct you with the rod. Meaning, whatever it takes to get you to stop doing this. And that's what parents are going to do. You can't take a rod to a toddler that's 13, 14, 15 months old. You're not going to take a big rod and smack them. That's not what God is asking for at all. In the earliest days, as I said, it can be just a stern voice or a slight smack on the leg. All you're trying to do is show your child you don't approve of their conduct. You're not necessarily at this point trying to punish them, because in a very real sense, they really don't know what they're doing right or wrong. It's not like when they're 10 years old and they choose to rebel. This is very different. So the rod can become a switch or a belt or a hand or the removal of privileges or any punishment that will bend a child's will. There has to be negative consequences to actions, or people won't learn not to do them. You can't just reason a child out of a temper tantrum. But you can discipline them, although if you let it go that long, it's going to be tough to bring them back. I think God is very clear that the line between discipline and abuse is seen in the response of the child. If the child becomes angry, or sullen, or bitter, or as Paul will say in the book of Colossians, discouraged, broken down, beaten down. That's not discipline. That's abuse. I've seen Christian parents do that. They're so controlling over their children that their children are bitter and angry and discouraged. And they can't wait till they're 18 to get out of the home, because the discipline failed. And it failed for a very specific reason. As God says, when your children are provoked to anger, don't do that. But Lord, you said back in Proverbs, the rod of correction will drive it far from them. Yes, the proper use of the rod of correction, the loving use of the rod of correction, the explanations that need to be given. It's not because we're bigger than they are and we can force them to do what we want them to do. That's what they're doing. And they'll never understand that. Discipline that provokes a child to anger failed. Discipline should leave a child contrite and chastened, but not angry. If they become angry, we need to go the second mile. We need to take a few steps. Let's talk about that just a little bit. We have to keep discipline fair. When a child screams, that's not fair, it's a clear sign that something's wrong. Now, it may very well be a false charge. It may very well be a false charge. But you can't just say, I'm your father or I'm your mother, and that gives me the right to do it. That's just going to provoke them to wrath. We need to explain it. We need to get the scriptures out. Honey, the reason that I'm disciplining you for anger is because Jesus has told us that anger is wrong, and that Anger needs to be controlled. Be angry, but don't sin. Needs to be explained. Lying, cheating, hitting. They can be explained. It can be explained to where a child understands this is being done because you have violated Scripture and I'm trying to help you submit to God. Now, if the child still becomes angry at that point, then we are going to be playing catch up. And I've seen people that are that way. No matter what you do, they're contrary. But God only expects us to do the best we can. There is a passage in Deuteronomy that says, if you train up your child and he will not submit to you, and he becomes a drunkard and a glutton and da 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 da, take him to the elders and stone him. So God recognizes that there are going to be cases where it's going to be really tough. But then there are times when we weren't fair. And if that's true, we need to repent, we need to show our godly sorrow, we need to apologize. Brethren, if we expect them to do it, when they do it to other people, they have every right to expect that we would do it to them. If we are unfair, if you go home, or you go in your room and you start thinking about, man, I don't think I handled that well, go down there and talk to your children. Son, I'm really sorry. I don't think I handled that well. I love you. And what you did was wrong. But I didn't do it properly. I'm really sorry. That's fair. That's just. That's what God would expect of us, just like he would of any Christian. And all discipline comes from God's commands. They need to know that. They need to understand. Whatever their character weaknesses are, take the time to figure out what scriptures you're trying to help them submit to. And then as you discipline them, you start quoting those scriptures and you start asking your children to memorize those scriptures, and we start building a fellowship in which I'm trying to help my children become what God wants them to be. I've never met a child who could be angry under that situation. But true discipline is administered as God's justice. We're simply showing them why God commanded us to help them. And I think that's crucial. Like I said, it's an out-of-season sermon because for most of us, it would have been nice to have heard a lesson like this. I wish I could have heard a lesson like this in my 20s. But this is just trial and error and going through it and trying to figure it out. But I'm trying to pass it on. And one of the reasons I want to do this, I want this to be on the website. I'd like for people who are interested in this topic to be able to look and think about it. We're not the authority. God is the authority. Remember the term dispensation? Mosaic dispensation, patriarchal dispensation, Christian dispensation. What we mean by that is this is how God chose to dispense or administer his authority. He administers authority under the patriarchal dispensation. He administered under the Mosaic and under the Christian differently. We are a part of that. I put a scripture in here. I took it out because I thought, well, I don't want to deal with it. But I'd like to at least refer to it. God told Christians, civil government is a dispenser of my authority to you, and you need to submit to every ordinance that he puts down. I think that would be a good verse to show our children. This is what God wanted civil government to do. Take them to the eldership, take them to parents, and show them. My role is to help you come to God. And that's what all of my discipline is for. I do not have any desire to discipline you. Matter of fact, I've actually told my children, if God wasn't commanding me to do this, I probably wouldn't need me dealing with this. You guys could just grow up and do whatever you want. But because God's commanded me to do this, that's what I'm going to do. So we take him to Scripture. He who spares his rod hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. I can explain that to my children. You can explain that to your children. If it provokes them to wrath, if your discipline provokes them to wrath, you just make sure that they understand that this is what God wanted. It's not coming from parents. It's coming from God. And there's lots of scriptures here that you can quote to them. Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. Son, if I didn't discipline you, it will lead to your destruction. I have to help you with this. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. Those verses are our marching orders, but they are also our shield to show our children and anybody else. If the police were to come, I'd show them these verses. And I'd explain to them, I have never disciplined my children out of anger. Never discipline my children to force my way on them. I have only disciplined them through the scriptures. Now that may or may not help, but it's the truth. We need to convince them that we only use our authority to bless. Even Jesus used this approach. I talked about this a little. Come to me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, all of the authority of Jesus, all of the commands, just like God said in the Old Testament, these commands are for your own good always. There's not a single command in here just to make your life miserable. I know kids sometimes think that. You just sit around at night trying to come up with ways so that I can't enjoy my life. No, that's not true at all. I'm like the Lord. I want to give you rest. And you're never going to have rest if you can't control your spirit. Isn't there a passage that says, a man who can't control his spirit is like a city without walls. No protection. No way to hold back. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is a scripture that children need to understand. I love you. I want you to succeed. I want you to have a good life. I want you to have committed, loving relationships. But what you're doing right now is going to keep you from ever having that. And I don't want that for you. I want to help you in these attitudes. And again, plenty of scripture. Scripture on anger. Scripture on wrath. Scripture on violence. Scripture on stealing, on coveting, on not submitting to authority. We're trying to train them up in the way they should go. And discipline, and this is where we're going to go here in just a few slides, discipline is integrated into our teaching, into our training, into our guidance, into our love and our mercy and our compassion. And when a child can see all of that, they're not going to become angry. They're not going to become discouraged. They're going to be grateful. We just need to show them that our goal is to help them. And so, it's just a small portion. Most of the time, we're teaching, training, loving, and enjoying them. These events that occur. Like I said, a lot of this is going to happen before they even remember. And if they get a little bit upset or angry when they're 2 years old, I don't think you have too much to worry about. Although you need to be watching to make sure that your discipline is loving, and because it's going to transition. At about the age of 5 or 6, they are going to know and they are going to remember. But as we serve the Lord with joy, we train them to do the same. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. This is why I've been making this point throughout the lesson. When you're disciplining your children, explain why. Correlate the scriptures to all discipline. I'm doing this because this scripture, which I taught you last week or last month, this scripture, you just violated. And God has told me when you violate scripture, I'm supposed to discipline you. And I love you and I love God and I trust God, so I'm going to do it. So we bolster the discipline with the truth. Since the heavens declare the glory of God, we're just living our lives showing God in everything that we do. We thank God for our food. When we see a beautiful sunset, we explain to our children, God created that. Isn't he a wonderful artist? Isn't he an amazing creator? Isn't he someone we should adore and serve and praise and glorify and honor? And then when the discipline comes later, it's in the context of a loving creator who's just wanting us to be blessed. Same thing with his invisible attributes are clearly seen. And so we talk about these things. Every beautiful, wonderful thing we ever see, we bring it to God. Got to do that. Because if we don't, they're not going to get it. And then we're disciplining all by ourselves. There's no God above us. There's no respect for authority above us. And that kind of discipline is not going to be very productive. I've just got one more slide I want to look at. Whoops. And that's this one. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is what we need to be doing with our children and inside. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? Now, every time that happens, we bring our children in. We praise God together. We thank God. He did not leave himself without witness, and that he did good. He gave his rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And so, as I wind down this lesson, I hope we can see that discipline is loving. Discipline is blessing. Discipline is helping and guiding and trying to bring our children to success, to wonderful, well-rounded relationships with their teachers, with their friends, with their sports competitors and people they are playing sports with, future wife, future husband, future employer, future brethren, future eldership. Do we want to pass trouble on to all of these people? Or do we want to help them? God gave us discipline, and as godly and devout Christians, we will dispense that discipline exactly as our God, not as seems fit to us. That's what the Hebrew writer said. They discipline as seem fit to them. We can rise above that. We can discipline them as seem fit by God by using Scripture to make decisions on how we will discipline them. As we pick up our songs of invitation, which will be number 293 this morning, we need to make any changes. This lesson certainly wasn't designed to teach someone how to obey the gospel or to rebuke us for sin. It was simply a lesson to help us understand what God teaches about discipline and how, if we mete it out properly, never, ever be anything but a blessing. But God does the same thing in his word. And he has warned us that a great day is coming, a day in which discipline will be meted out to all who don't obey the gospel. And that's why, as parents, we want to raise up our children the way they should go, so that when that day comes, all of my children will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's our goal. And that's our intent. But God wants the same thing for all of us. And so if there's anyone in the room today who, after having heard this sermon and maybe agreeing with most of it or all of it, it's now time for you Even if your parents didn't help you, even if you have struggled with some of these things, bring yourself back to God. And if we can help you in any way, please come and let us know while we together stand and sing.